Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
For most families, Thanksgiving Day is a joyous occasion, celebrated with our friends and families. However, Thanksgiving Day in 2018 was one of pain and bewilderment for the family of Kelsey Barrett. On this day, Kelsey vanished from her home, leaving behind her partner and young daughter. What unfolds in the months following her disappearance is horrifying and painful. Who could be responsible for this tragic story? And what could possibly be the motive behind their evil scheme? This is True Crime Cast.
This is True Crime Cast. I'm Jamie, here with John, with a special episode today.
Hey, man. It is good to be here with you. Hopefully that's still okay. We have a very exciting case today and a unique situation. A Patreon member has asked us to do something special, so I'll let you take the ball on that.
Brianna has asked us to cover a very special case as a dedication to her mother, Michelle, on her birthday.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
Happy birthday, Michelle. Brianna says, happy birthday to the most incredible mama and the most amazing role model. You are so loved, and I hope you have a very happy birthday.
That might be the nicest thing that a daughter could ever do for their mother, is to bless them with a special episode of True Crime Cast.
And it wasn't just for the shout-out, the topic. We're talking about Kelsey Barrett, and apparently that is a very interesting case to Michelle. So
apparently Michelle and Brianna will get together and talk about this case, and so it's a special one to Michelle, so we're happy to cover it for you guys. So again, Michelle, happy birthday. We have a few other folks we want to thank. We recorded a bunch of episodes back-to-back, and we didn't get a special thank you in to people who joined Patreon, so I have a few of those, Jamie. First, I'd like to thank Jennifer, came in at our $7 level, so she'll get a bonus episode each and every month. Kelly came in at our $10 level, and Kelly gets a special shout-out, so thank you, Kelly. Jamie, we know Kelly, so we were able to take the autograph to their mailbox, to Kelly's mailbox, and threw in a little extra surprise, so thank you so much, Kelly. Allie and Chad came in at our $3 level, so thank you, Allie, and thank you, Chad.
That's awesome. We're thrilled at the support. It's an interesting time for podcasting. People normally listen on their commutes, and commutes aren't a thing for most people right now.
I kind of forgot what a commute is. My commute is now getting out of my bed, taking a shower, walking back to my desk, which is right beside my bed, and starting work.
Not enough time to listen to a podcast.
It is not. But we thank you for those of you who are still able to listen. And if you don't care, make sure you share this episode to get it in the ears of other folks. And Jamie, with that, let's take off. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So, like I said, we're going to be talking about a young lady named Kelsey Barrett. Kelsey Barrett was a young and loving mother and partner who tragically went missing, seemingly without a trace, in November of 2018. As the investigation into her disappearance progressed, a disturbing story would emerge, one that would lead to two arrests, a secret love affair, and Kelsey's tragic and violent death. Now, how could this young mother vanish? Who was responsible for this tragedy? And what was the motive that could have possibly led to Kelsey's disappearance and death? So, Jamie, why don't you get the ball rolling on what is going on here?
Kelsey Barrett's story begins on Thanksgiving Day in November of 2018. That was November 22nd. She left her Colorado home with her one-year-old daughter shortly after noon that day and was seen for the last time on surveillance footage at a supermarket called Safeway. Barrett's fiancé and the father of the child, Patrick Frazee, would later tell investigators that he also saw Barrett after that trip to the store when she handed off their daughter to him. 3 days later, on November 25th, DOS Avia pilot and a flight instructor received texts from her number indicating that she would not be at work for another week, but that she would return in early December. Frazee reported that he received similar text messages from Kelsey indicating that she was going to be away for a while. Investigators later looked into her cell phone records and found some interesting things happening. Her cell phone was pinging off a lot of different towers, particularly one in Gooding, Idaho, which is about 600 miles away from her home on the day that those text messages were sent to her bosses and her fiancé. So her disappearance obviously was alarming to her family and friends. Her mother reported her missing officially on December 2nd. And she had been concerned for a few days, but she had been unable to make contact with Kelsey and really wanted to check on her, check on her daughter, and was unable to contact her. So she eventually calls police, and she also reached out to Patrick Frazee, who indicated that he had had no contact with Kelsey since the text message she had sent on November 25th. The Woodland, Colorado Police Department responded to the missing person report and performed a welfare check on Barrett's home. They found her car, her clothes, her toothbrush, all other necessities left behind in the apartment, but there was no trace of Kelsey. Now convinced this was a legitimate missing persons case, police started to appeal to the public for more information to try to find out where Kelsey was and figure out the circumstances around her disappearance. The local community, after hearing that Kelsey was a skilled and licensed pilot and flight instructor, initially thought that she had simply flown somewhere as a trip to get away, and her family had to make it clear to police and the community that this was not who she was. She wouldn't just run away from her job, from her daughter, from her responsibilities, because she was such a good mother that she would never leave her child. The family made a Facebook post that read, "She does not own a plane, nor do we know of any local friends she would borrow one from. I don't believe she has ever made a flight without filing a flight plan," which there was no flight plan on record. 2 days after police declared her missing, a prayer vigil was held at her brother's house. Members of the local community came, and they together, under candlelight, sang, among other songs, "Silent Night," since her disappearance came so close to Christmas.
On December 10th, police were joined by Barrett's family in providing an update on the investigation. Enforcement indicated that the case now involved the Colorado Bureau of Investigation and the FBI, as well as police in Gooding, Idaho. So the place in Gooding, Idaho, that Jamie, that was the place where her cell phone had last pinged. That's over 600 miles away from where she and Frazee lived. They reiterated that as far as they knew, no planes were missing from the area, and they did not believe that she flew anywhere or even flew internationally somewhere. Significantly, police told the community that there was no suspects and that Barrett's fiance Frazee was being cooperative. When the press asked a local detective why Frazee wasn't at the press conference, the detective simply replied, "That's a question you'll have to ask him." Frazee would later report that he had short notice of the press conference and was therefore unable to attend. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but...
Well, you like to put yourself in other people's shoes. Your fiance's missing. There's a press conference where they're giving information about her disappearance. What else do you have to do that you can't rearrange to go to the press conference?
I mean, if they gave him like 5 minutes notice and it's 20 minutes away, I get it. But if they gave him half an hour to half a day's notice, my butt's going to be there. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be distraught. I'm not going to be working. I literally have nothing else to do but to care for my daughter and grieve. So I'm going to do everything I can to get there as long as I had enough time to actually drive. As the investigation began to grow cold, even in its early days, police released the last known surveillance footage of Kelsey at a local supermarket. So, Jamie, in this video, she's carrying her daughter and shopping, and there's really nothing remarkable about the film. Barrett's mother also recounted the last conversations that she had with her daughter. Those took place on Thanksgiving Day. She indicated that Kelsey had just called for recipes and that nothing really seemed amiss. Frazee, meanwhile, continued to be cooperative with the investigation. He turned over his phone for a search and submitted his DNA. I guess they did some cheek swabs of Frazee. On December 14th, nearly a month after she vanished, police executed a search warrant at Frazee's home. Jamie, there were close to 80 officers participating in this search through his home and through the property. Frazee was present during the two-day search. Through his attorney, Frazee commented, "We encourage law enforcement to take whatever steps it deems necessary to find Kelsey Barrett and to exclude Patrick Frazee as a possible suspect." Jamie, like you mentioned, vigils in the community continued. I know there was one at her brother's house. Police also offered a $25,000 reward for information that led to a resolution of this case.
There was so much that was tricky here about the relationship between Barrett and Frazee, John. She would tell people that they weren't doing well. She never reported any kind of physical abuse, but she did have some mental health issues, just a lot of anxiety and that kind of thing. And he would tell people that they were broken up. However, one of the text messages that she allegedly sent to him on Thanksgiving Day said, "I've got some sweet potatoes to make some sweet potato casserole for you for Thanksgiving." On her receipt, the day that she was at the supermarket, there were sweet potatoes. So why would she send that text message to him if they were broken up?
Yeah, it's just one of those things that are going to quickly add up to a long list of odd things, right?
Yeah, it is. And her friends knew that they were kind of on the outs, so of course they were suspicious of Frazee. On Friday, December 21st, at 7 a.m., Frazee was arrested and charged with murder and solicitation to commit murder. Police indicated that they were confident that Barrett was dead, despite not having found her body. They reported that they believed she was killed in her own home. The couple's child was placed with Kelsey's family. About a week later, on December 27th, Frazee appeared in court to argue for continued custody of his daughter. The judge denied that request and gave temporary custody to Kelsey's parents. Frazee would formally be indicted on December 31st, and the indictment included three charges of solicitation to commit murder and two charges of first-degree murder. The judge in the case explained that the two murder charges stem from two separate theories as to how Kelsey was killed. By indicting him on both charges, prosecutors improved their chances of conviction. DA Dan May commented to local media, "Obviously, there's only one murderer in his case. Under Colorado law, we file separate counts for different theories." Now, John, I feel like we've seen this before. There are certain laws in states that murder by using your hands was what we saw in the Tara Grinstead case.
Right.
I guess if that helps you to pick a sentence or that can help convict somebody or point the evidence in a certain direction, in some ways it makes sense. But in situations like this, if he killed somebody, he killed them. Why do you have to be creative in the way you charge him just to cast a net to make sure you catch him?
Yeah, Jamie, I don't know. I agree with you. Murder is murder. And, you know, no matter how it went down, the fact is that she's dead because of his actions. So it's kind of a confusing loophole there.
A few days after Frazee's indictment is when we meet a very important person in this case, John. Police named an Idaho nurse named Crystal Jean Kinney as a suspect in the crime. Remember that Kelsey's cell phone pinged in Idaho. They claim that she helped dispose of evidence by concealing Kelsey's cell phone. After her arrest, Kinney planned to plead guilty and struck a plea deal where she would testify against Frazee. Kinney was formally charged on February 8th of 2019 after one count of felony evidence tampering, and she pled guilty. She agreed again to testify after Patrick, who we would find out that she was in a relationship with. Around this time, Barrett's family claimed in a wrongful death suit filed against Patrick Frazee that custody of the couple's daughter was the motivation behind killing Kelsey. The suit claimed, and this is in quotes, "Upon information and belief, Frazee had motive to kill Kelsey and that he wanted full custody of their daughter, and Kelsey would not agree." As they built their case, prosecutors alleged that Frazee, in an attempt to gain sole custody of their daughter, beat Kelsey to death in her home with a baseball bat. Frazee then wrapped a sweater around her head and continued to strike it with a bat. He then removed her body and burned it outside. Prosecutors also believe that Frazee had tried to convince his other girlfriend, Crystal Kinney, who he mentioned, to steal powerful sedatives from her job in order to get rid of Kelsey Barrett. Frazee told Kinney that Barrett was abusive to him and their daughter and that she was a drug abuser. And there's no evidence to support any of these claims. There was actually a story presented by Kinney where she had planned on killing Kelsey for him by picking up a coffee for her and poisoning it, but she backed out at the last minute. She had driven to Kelsey's address with the intention of doing this, but when she saw her at her home, she realized that she was a real person, she was not a monster, and she backed out on this plan. So Frazee would attempt to get her to do his dirty work several other times before he finally committed the murder himself. Now, we can look at the motive of custody, I guess, but there's no indication even. Maybe they didn't have joint custody, but it didn't seem like she was withdrawing or withholding her daughter from him. So I suppose there could be other motives, but is this enough to want to get rid of somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think how much can we trust what he says at this point, you know? So maybe he was worried that if they split up, she would get full custody and maybe move away from him and not ever let him see his daughter again. Or maybe he was just trying to say that to save a little face, even though what he did was awful. And yeah, I don't know.
She did move to Colorado to be closer to him after she got pregnant with their daughter. So I guess perhaps she could have wanted to move back to where she had grown up. Her friend said that she was a strong, independent person, and maybe she would have walked away from this relationship. But we see it all the time with couples splitting up with kids and moving very far away. And it's painful for everyone involved, but usually they find a way to work it out.
They do. And that's, you know, for logical, sane people, of course. I think if you're capable of doing what he did to Kelsey, those are the last things that he is. I think it's possible, you know. What were his plans with he and Kenny? You know, was Kelsey the one standing in the way of filling out or fulfilling whatever dreams he had as far as their relationship goes? I think that's probably more likely. But still, I mean, there's so many other ways around these problems than murder.
And here's the thing. Police didn't really have anything to go on. They did find some blood in the sink of Barrett's apartment. And there was some male DNA, actually, that didn't match Frazee, but they were never able to figure that out. And they didn't have a lot to go on until Crystal Kenny showed up, and she really blew this whole thing up. And the picture that's painted here is all painted by her. She's the one saying, yes, he tried to get me to kill her. I thought about poisoning her coffee, and then we talked about this and this, and this is how he ended up doing it. And all I did was get rid of her cell phone to make it seem like she had run away. And obviously, either Kenny or Frazee had sent some text messages from the phone to make it seem like Barrett was still alive, to give them some more time to, I guess, get rid of the body, which has still never been found. So Kenny comes in and tells all these stories. How much can we trust her?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's trying to definitely save face by being somewhat more cooperative with police. I think she's really afraid. But she was participating in a lot of stuff. I mean, she went to the house multiple times in an effort to kill Kelsey Barrett, but then on multiple occasions she got afraid and couldn't do it. So I remember one time she said that she was going to take a baseball bat and kill Kelsey, but when she got there, she saw her daughter sitting there and couldn't do it. So, I mean, she is actively participating in Frazee's plan, even if she isn't the one who finally murdered her. I mean, she, of course, like you said, helps clean up the house. Now, I'm going to say some stuff here in just a minute about her trying to cover that up a little bit. But before we do, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
In case you didn't know, John and I have an Etsy store. We have coffee mugs, t-shirts, stickers, mouse pads. Really trying to unload some of these t-shirts so we can get some different colors. Go over to Etsy and search True Crime Cast, or you can find the link on the top of our Facebook page.
We have knocked $10 off those shirts, so you can get a t-shirt shipped to you for $15.
Yeah, so head over there now and get the shirts while they're hot.
And we're back. So finally convinced that he'll Barrett himself, Frazee launched into the attack on Thanksgiving Day using a bat to beat her until she died. Jamie, apparently this was not a quick and easy thing. It wasn't like a one hit done kind of thing. According to Kenny and according to some others that saw the house, this would have been a nightmare of a scene. I think police you know, Kenny said that she was trying to help find one of the teeth that went missing in this attack. But I thought I read somewhere that police were able to later find five teeth.
Wow.
Just brutal, awful way to die. Kenny or Frazee, one told police, they asked what her last words were, and they said that her last words were, "Please stop." So she was conscious during some of this, and dude, I can't tell you how much this breaks my heart. Just tragic and brutal. And then, of course, at the end of this, I'll share with you my thoughts on what needs to happen to Frazee. The couple's one-year-old daughter was in the apartment at the time that her mother was murdered. He then called Kenny and asked for her to come to the apartment. When she arrived, Frazee told her to clean the blood and to begin working to conceal the crime. Kenny feared for her life. She feared physical violence if she did not comply. And so she spent hours, she said, cleaning the apartment. She even searched for the missing tooth, which was found near a heating vent. Kenny would later say that she was horrified to be complicit in the murder by concealing evidence, and she said that she intentionally left small blood drops for investigators to eventually find. Eventually, police did find blood residue that matched Barrett's DNA. She spent hours, like I said, trying to conceal her boyfriend's crime, but refused to participate when Frazee needed to dispose of Kelsey's body. He placed Kelsey in a black tote bag, left her in some hay at a farm he owned, and then left her to have Thanksgiving dinner. Frazee would then go to tell Kenny, "You don't know how hard it is to have Thanksgiving dinner after killing her." Later that evening, after he had dinner, Frazee returned to the farm, doused Kelsey Barrett's body in gasoline, and attempted to cremate her. For the next few days, Frazee would send text messages to himself from Barrett's phone to give the illusion to law enforcement that she was alive and leaving him. On November 24th, Barrett's phone sent a text to Frazee that read, "If this is what you want, I'll respect your wishes and give you some space." Given the timeline of this case, police knew that Barrett was already dead and that those messages were intentional efforts to conceal the crime. Finally, around November 25th, Barrett's phone was disposed of in Utah. So, at the trial of Frazee in November of 2019, several people associated with Frazee testified that he had made concerning comments in the past. A friend of his said that Frazee told him he had a plan to kill Barrett and to get away with it. Kenny also testified that she had helped sanitize the apartment out of fear that Frazee would physically harm her. On January 28, 2020, Kenny was sentenced to 3 years in prison for her role in concealing Frazee's crime. It was the maximum that she could have received for her charge of tampering with physical evidence. She emotionally told the court at her sentencing, I mean, she said, "I am sorry that Kelsey's friends and family will live the rest of their lives without her. I am sorry that Kaylee has lost her mother. I am sorry that I did not save Kelsey. My punishment comes every day." In response, the judge commented saying, "I'm sorry is simply not enough." And Jamie, that's true. Sorry is great, but sorry will never change what took place that night. After she completes her prison sentence, Kenny will also have 1 year of probation. Despite the overwhelming evidence, Frazee pleaded not guilty to all charges, which were 2 counts of murder, again because of the multiple theories, 3 counts of solicitation to commit murder for repeatedly asking Kenny to kill Barrett, and also tampering with a body. Still, on November 18th, 2019, Frazee was convicted of murder, solicitation to commit a murder, and tampering with a body. He was sentenced to life without parole, plus an additional 156 years.
Barrett's body was so thoroughly burned at Frazee's farm that they never found any pieces. There were no remnants of the cremation that he did.
Isn't that crazy? Because we've covered other cases where people have attempted to cremate and there's always something left. Like some bones are just too thick. So, I mean, what does that tell place that night?
Yeah, it seems like it would have taken more than simple gasoline, right? And he had to know what he was doing. He had to plan it well in advance. My guess is that he burned her and then disposed of it elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
that would make the most sense, right?
Right. I mean, even in a professional crematory, there's some remnants left. So it sounds like your theory is probably what happened there.
Daryl and Cheryl Barrett, Kelsey's parents, read a letter at Kenny's trial in which they acknowledged that without Crystal, a conviction would have been much more difficult, but that she revealed the truth only to save herself. She was an active participant in the murder. The only thing she didn't do was swing the bat. So it sounds like Kelsey's parents were not completely satisfied with the sentence of Crystal Kenny. I want to go back to her story, though. So she says that she's called to clean up, right, and she cleans up for hours. It's this horrific scene, but she intentionally leaves blood droplets as evidence. If you're going to intentionally leave evidence, why don't you just stop what you're doing and go straight to the police?
Well, I mean, her story was that she feared physical violence from Frazee. So if she is legitimately afraid that he is going to murder her, and I mean, she knows he's capable of murdering someone because the evidence is right in front of her, then maybe I'll buy that. But why not clean up and then immediately go call the police? You know, there's a lot more to her story than I think we're going to know.
Yeah, I mean, what's scarier, him being out of jail and them being covering up a murder together? I feel like he's more dangerous in that scenario than if she's sitting in a police station and they're interrogating him.
Right. You're right.
I know. No, I just don't get it. And then, so she did this, and then it's not in our script, but she told friends that immediately after she left the apartment, she was really hungry and went and got a Sonic burger.
How in the heck could you be in a state of mind where you could think about eating anything?
No, that's the question, right? Like how he talked to texted her and said, you have no idea how hard it was to eat Thanksgiving dinner. She went straight to a drive-thru. So what was her mental state at this time? Did she have other issues that prevented her from having some kind of empathy here? Obviously, she came forward, but her parents, Kelsey's parents, seemed to think that Crystal only came forward simply to get herself out of trouble. Was there any remorse or empathy here?
I don't think you could spend hours cleaning up a brutal murder and go out and get something to eat if you're not an insane person, or there has to be something wrong. No empathy at all.
Yeah, I really don't buy what Crystal's saying here. So if I don't buy what she's saying about the cleanup and her role, why would I buy the entire story? Now, I fully believe that Patrick Frazee did this. I feel like there's enough circumstantial evidence and otherwise to say that he and Kenny did this together, but I don't fully buy what she's saying. I feel like she was more involved than she's letting on.
You're right, but I guess this also kind of serves up a case on a silver platter for police and attorneys. I mean, they can put the one who physically murdered her behind bars for the rest of his life, but still, I don't like that she's only going to get 3 years for what she contributed to the crime. Even if what she says and what she did are the same thing, like even if she only helped clean up, you still deserve more than 3 years in my book. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I was justice served is our question, right? Is that for any role? Like if you conceal evidence from a robbery where nobody's hurt, you're hiding, your friend robbed somebody's house, and then you hide the stolen goods in your home. I don't know, 3 years may be a little much for that. It may not be. I don't know. But it's certainly not enough to play an active role in planning, executing, and covering up a murder.
Yeah. I mean, what I was going to say earlier is that she has had many weeks or months to contemplate what was about to happen to Kelsey because she was one who was tasked with her murder when Frazee wanted her to do it. So she knew what was about to happen. She had opportunities before Kelsey died to say, hey, Kelsey, you know what? Frazee's crazy and he wants to kill you. She had opportunities to tell police what was happening. She didn't do either of those things. And so to me, she is just as guilty in Kelsey's death as Frazee is. Even though she might have not been the one who picked up the bat and hit Kelsey with it, she could have prevented Kelsey's death, and she didn't. So, yeah, I think she deserves absolutely more than 3 years. As far as Frazee, him never seeing the light of day, I presume that's justice. And listen, I'm going to take a hot stance here real quick. You and I have kind of always said from the beginning, the time we started doing this show, that we don't believe in the death penalty. I'm here to tell you that if they gave him the death penalty and he was executed, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, because what he did was brutal, heinous, and evil. And I don't think there's a place on earth for people like him.
It was awful. And I don't want to, I spent a lot of time kind of bashing Crystal Kenny, but I don't want to let him off the hook. This was all originated by him. I do think he dealt the fatal blow, and he was behind all of it. So he was certainly more responsible for this than Kenny was. And I do think that sentence of life without parole plus an additional 156 years is 100% appropriate for what he's done. Now, what I don't know, John, is about visitation for him in prison with his daughter. And I don't know, I'm sure it's different case by case, but can you talk about what typically happens when custody is removed from a person who may have committed a crime, especially a violent crime like this? Do people typically get to see their kid in prison?
It's kind of a case by case basis. Sometimes they do. Did you know that their daughter was actually removed at birth from them because of his actions at the hospital?
I did not know that.
So yeah, in my research, I found that, that Frazee was talking so crazy to a nurse and made some statements to the nurse. The nurse reported this situation to CPS, and CPS actually removed Haley for a little bit from the parents. And then Frazee would make a statement about the nurse. Like, if he knew who was behind it or what nurse called him in, then he would kill that nurse. So there is like a documented history here of Frazee being unstable, making threats, and, you know, just not the kind of person that you would want to live with. As far as, so they worked a case plan and got the child back, of course. But as far as, no, I don't think she would have to visit him in jail. Now, the last thing I read was that there's currently a custody battle going on between Kelsey's family and Frazee's family. I mean, I kind of know how that's going to go, but that will have to be fought in court. You know, it's interesting, and the people making those decisions will just have to make whatever is the best for the child. And so I don't think removing a child from a family she's been with to put her somewhere else is going to be in the child's best interest. I'm also not involved in that case.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. And his history, now that you bring that up, it's almost surprising that there wasn't more reported abuse between, well, I guess it was just like a year and a half. It's not like the girl was a teenager, right? Like, this was all in a couple year window when she was removed, and then when he ultimately ended up killing Kelsey. So you have to wonder if there was physical abuse and Kelsey just wasn't telling anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think his record, we don't know, so I can't sit here and say, but I can speculate that he has enough documentation on him that it's not at all outside the window of possibilities.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he did. It would surprise me, in fact, if he didn't.
Yeah, so this was certainly an interesting case, guys, for a mistress to come out of nowhere and blow the lid open on a murder that he seemingly not had gotten away with, but he left very little evidence.
You know, we could be sitting here telling a much different story if Kenny hadn't come out and said the things she said. Now, I don't like her, and I don't like that she participated, but you know, I think investigators would have had a much more difficult time building a case around this guy had she not come forward. I think it's still there and it still could have happened. But, you know, at least the parents of Kelsey know a little bit more about what happened to their daughter had she not stepped forward and talked about it more.
Yeah, I agree. Happy birthday, Michelle. Hope you enjoyed our conversation about this case. Maybe you disagree with us on some things. That's fine. We can talk about that because we're friends like that.
Yep. Thank you so much. And guys, if you're interested in sponsoring a case for somebody, just let us know. We can work some things out and make that happen for you. Jamie, anything else before we go?
No. Again, thank you for your support. You guys take care of each other. Hopefully, for those of you that are able to listen during this time of quarantine and whatnot, assuming that's still happening when this comes out, just take care of each other. And thanks for listening. Send us ideas if you have some. We want to make this time as normal as possible for everybody.
Yeah, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. That's a good way to help us. You can also leave a rating and a review. And don't forget to share this with your friends. And guys, thank you all so much. And until next crime, this has been True Crime Cast.
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.